Well, good afternoon to all of you. I want to thank Mr. Howe for that message about Scotland and God's promises. God always fulfills his promises. That's a wonderful thing to know. I want to welcome any visitors we might have today. We have kind of a small crowd, but maybe it's about normal. As some of you know, I work for the letter answering department. It's called the personal correspondence department. And there are three subjects that continually come up, or at least they come into my inbox. I don't know if that's a good judge of all of the questions, but the three questions that most commonly come up are the Trinity, the Sabbath, and the Hebrew calendar. Yeah. And I'm kind of surprised that the Hebrew calendar keeps showing up. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about today, is the Hebrew calendar. And I've spoken about it before, but I want to cover some different aspects today. I want to answer today three questions. Is the Hebrew calendar accurate enough for us to continue using it? Number two, is a calendar by observation the Bible-based calendar, or God's calendar, as some people call it? And number three, will the Church of God ever change calendars? And of course, I can't really answer that specifically, but I can give you a good idea. One of the reasons I wanted to speak about this subject is this year, the feast was very, very early. The Day of Trumpets was September the 5th. Now, does anybody remember the last time we had the trumpets on September the 5th? I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. It was 1899. He probably remembers it. But. That was 114 years ago, so I doubt that many of you were keeping the holy days then. I had a good idea of why it was early that year, because that year was the 17th cycle of the 19-year time cycle, and in the Hebrew calendar, that just happens to be the earliest time of feast, 17th year of the 17th of the 19-year time cycle. So it's easy to figure that out. You just divide 114 by 6, and that says 6 19-year time cycles ago that happened. Well, let's get to my first question. Is the Hebrew calendar too far off to be usable by us? Many people will tell you that. They will tell you that we're keeping the wrong day. Sometimes they'll say we're keeping the wrong month, and so on and so on. There are many criticisms about it. Well, if you know much about the Hebrew calendar, you know that it is true that the Hebrew calendar is not precisely on every year. It just isn't. But is that a problem? Well, one of the reasons the calendar is not on exactly every year is because of the way it functions. The way the calendar functions, it uses averaging. And what it does, it takes the synodic moon cycle, that is the time it takes for the moon to go through one cycle around the Earth, and they take the average of that time, and then from that average, they project when the next new moons will come. Now, that sounds like a good way to do it, and it is almost the only way to do it, but there is a problem with it. As some of you know, Hillel II in 358 released the rules to the calendar. And for the monthly cycle, he used this figure. I wish I'd have thought of putting it up on so you could see it. But the Hebrew calendar uses an average cycle of the moon, 29.53059. That's the average of the moon cycle. But NASA, the military, or the Astronautic Association, says The true figure is 29,530,589. And you can see that it looks like Hillel either got it wrong or he rounded it off. Now, that's an error, you know. I mean, this is the accurate figure, and this is a slight error. And that's what the Hebrew calendar is based on. The error, by the way, is 1/1,000,000th of one day. But it's an error, nonetheless. Now, this is the average. The problem comes, though, that the moon makes an elliptical circuit around the Earth, and the average is, it varies quite a bit. For example, the minimum time it takes for the moon to go around the Earth is 29.26574. And you can see that's quite a ways off from 2.5. The maximum time is 2.84089. So you can say that's nearly 29.8, that's nearly 30 days time. Some people say this figure should be 9.3. This one should be 1.8. So you can see it varies quite a bit. Now, this is not a theoretical figure. These are actual figures, and the moon actually does go through that cycle and varies that much. The reason we know, not only by mathematics, but people have actually plotted the cycle of the moon. And I know you can't see this very well. This is a sinusoidal wave that goes above and below the average. This middle line is the average, 29.53. And up here is 29.8. Down here is 29.2, 29.3. So, as you see, the moon goes through a rhythmic irregularity. For about 6 or 7 years, it's in the high cycle, and then the next 6 or 7 years, it's in the low cycle. And like I say, this is an actual plot. It was measured. It happened to be in the 1940s, but this is, again, not theoretical. This is actually the way the moon functions. Now, considering that, how accurate can an average be when the moon is constantly changing its rhythm? It can't be very accurate. I just recently learned this, that there was that much variance in the moon cycle. And so I checked into September the 5th when Prumpet started this year, and I found out that the Molad, what's called the Molad of Tishri, the conjunction of the seventh month from which the calendar functions, the prediction for the new moon was quite a ways off. It was about, I forget, 9 or 10 hours off. And I said, how could that be? Well, it can be because of this irregularity of the moon cycle. So using that average, you cannot predict when it's exactly going to be. You know, it's like, I thought, it's just like your checking account. You know, you may have an average of, let's say, somebody asks you, what's your average in your checking account? You might say, oh, about $1,500. And you say, let's go check your account. And you check it, and it only has $500. Yeah, but I'm getting paid tomorrow, you know. And so it goes up. So, you know, you can't predict what your checking account is going to be at any period of time because you're constantly taking money out. And then you put money in, usually in a big chunk, and so on. So that's the problem with averaging the monthly cycle. Now, catch up with my notes. There is something strange that happens, however, with the Hebrew calendar, and I can't explain it, but my wife and I have noticed that it happens, and that is that nature for some reason, seems to follow pretty closely to the Hebrew calendar. For example, my wife tells me, and I didn't notice this, but she said she used to have a lilac bush. And every year, the lilac bush would bloom during the days of unleavened bread. Whether they were late or whether they were early, they always bloomed during the days of unleavened bread. And my wife, you know, is not interested in Hebrew calendar, so it's not a self-fulfilling prophecy or anything like that. she doesn't know anything about the Hebrew calendar. The other example, and I've seen this myself, are the orioles that we have at our house. Orioles are migrating birds, and we have hummingbird feeders up at our house, and the orioles come, and they drink out of that feeder. Well, this year, Sheila mentioned, she said, the orioles are gone. Why are they gone so early? And I said, I don't know, but the feast is early this year. And sure enough, they left almost coincided with trumpets. They left, and they almost never leave at that time. So that just, I know personal experience doesn't prove anything, but still, it just seems to happen year after year. Now, people say the Hebrew calendar is drifting, and they're right. It is. It does drift. It is drifting and has drifted for a number of years. I have another chart that I'm sure you can't see, but it'll, maybe you can see this mass going this way. That's showing the drift of the Hebrew calendar. And this chart was made by a Dr. Irv, forgotten his name, Bromberg, I think it was, from the University of Toronto, Canada. And he's a medical doctor, but he studied the Hebrew calendar. From reading his stuff, he must have started studying it when he was 5 years old, because he has published more charts like this than I've ever seen. But anyway, the purpose of his chart here was to show that the calendar is drifting, and there's going to come a point in time where it is unusable. Now, this point down here is the year 6000 of the Hebrew calendar. That's when the Hebrew calendar, by their own idea, is no longer usable. And for us, that's the year 2225. So if any of you are here in 2225, remember, you heard it here first. Well, I think that's enough on the first question. Is the calendar usable? It still is. It will not be usable in the year 2225. So we have a few more years, 212, I think it is, something like that. So it's still usable. And even though I'm not going into all of the criticisms that about postponements and all of that. I have before, but I'm not going to today. My second question that I would like to cover today is an observation calendar, the Bible-based calendar. You can go to probably 100 websites, and they'll tell you that very thing. It says you're supposed to observe the new crescent, and that is God's calendar. And they disagree that the conjunction constitutes a new moon, but they say the crescent is the new moon. However, if you analyze some of these documents, articles, and so on, you'll find that they depend on Jewish writings, the Talmud, and commentaries when they tell you that sighting the new moon is the way to determine a month. The reason I know that is because there's nothing in the Bible about sighting a new moon. Nothing, not one word. It's not there. Here are some phrases that do not appear in the Bible. The word crescent does not appear in the Bible anywhere except in some of the newer versions, and I'll cover that later. The phrase crescent moon is not in the Bible. The phrase new moon crescent is not in the Bible. The idea of sighting the new moon is not in the Bible. The idea of seeing a new moon is not in the Bible. All of those ideas come from Jewish tradition. Now, I'm not denying that they used observation. I know they did. Well, I don't know they did. I mean, I assume that they did, because many people who keep that type of calendar did. So I assume that they did as well. However, they also used calculation, and calculation has been known for thousands of years, probably much longer than most people realize. Well, I told you that the word crescent wasn't in the Bible. let me prove that to you. Let's go to Judges. And I'm going to read out of the New King James. However, the Old King James is different, and I'll tell you the difference. Judges 8, verse 21. And I'm just going to break into the thought, because we're not that interested in the story flow. I just want to prove the simple thing, that how the word crescent does appear in the new version, but actually shouldn't. Verse 21 of Judges 8 says, "So Zeba and Zalmunna said, 'Rise yourself and kill us, for as men is, so is his strength.' So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and his other fellow, and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks." Okay, in the New King James, that's one of the places that crescent is used. Is there any justification for them using it there? No, none at all. The Hebrew word, there's no word that means crescent. The only Hebrew word is ornaments. And ornaments, according to the dictionaries and lexicons, it means something round, an ornament that's round. Now in verse 26, it says, "Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels," and so on. And in the last line it says, not the last line, but "besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes," and so on. There again, they've inserted the word crescent, and it should not be there. Again, it's just the word ornaments. And if you read the Old King James, that's what it'll say. It'll say ornaments. And besides all that, it's not talking about sighting the moon, is it? No, it's not speaking of that at all. It's talking about ornaments that they put around animals and so on. So the bottom line is, why is it God's calendar to sight the crescent when the Bible never mentions it? It doesn't mention it at all. Either the word crescent or even sighting the moon crescent. It is not in there. So again, I say, those who say a sighted calendar are referring to Jewish tradition, because it is in Jewish writings. You know, there's plenty of that in there. Now, how about the word sighting the new moon, looking for the new moon, seeing the new moon, or waiting for the new moon? Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 5. And I was kind of shocked when I found that some people who insist on sighting the crescent quote this verse as proof that the crescent should be sighted. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Somehow I have it. Okay. I can't follow my own notes. That's the problem. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 16. I wanted to read that verse later. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. It says, observe the month of Abib, or Aviv, as some people pronounce it, the correct pronunciation, by the way, according to Hebrews, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, see the word month there? The word month is the same as new moon. So now, the observant people say, see, it says, observe the new moon of Abib. Well, the problem with that is that that's what the English says, but the Hebrew doesn't say that. The word observe is the Hebrew word shamar, and it has nothing to do, not one single thing to do with seeing something. It has to do with keeping something. That's why I wanted to read Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. If you'll turn back there, the same word says observe the Sabbath. Can you change that to see the Sabbath or look for the Sabbath? Or no, it means to keep the Sabbath. The word shamar means to build a hedge around, preserve, to keep, to do, and so on. It has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with seeing something in particular. So, you know, that's kind of a stretch. I'm really surprised that anybody would use that verse that way. It's obvious it doesn't mean that. And it's also obvious that the month is the correct translation, not new moon. It's observed the month of Abib, because the month, he said other places, the month is the beginning of the year. So observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover, because the Passover occurs in that month, and so on. So that's really, really a red herring to even think that is a scripture that says we must cite a new moon. Now, one thing people who insist on observation will say that it's more accurate than calculations. Well, that statement is false on the face of it, because calculation over the long term is more accurate, simply because you cannot see the new moon every time. There's a scripture in Genesis during the flood, and one verse says that on a 17th day of the second month, the flood started. And then it says after 150 days, the flood was over. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, that's 5 months of 150 days. And so they say, see, that shows that there was a 360-day calendar and there were 30 days in each month. No, it doesn't prove any such thing. What it might prove is that the only way they had to tell was by observation. And when you use observation, when the 30th day rolls around and you haven't seen the crescent, you say the month is over. If it happens 5 months in a row, you have 5 months of 30-day months. And so the Genesis account there in Genesis 7 does not prove that there was at one time a 360-day year. Although there may have been. I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm saying Genesis 7 does not prove it. People insist that the observation calendar is more accurate. Yet this year, we kept the Day of Trumpets on September the 5th. That was a conjunction, even though the Hebrew calendar predicted the precise moment incorrectly. It did predict the right day. September the 7th, we kept trumpets. Now, I checked several sites which used observation. One site said trumpets is either 6th or the 7th. We don't know. Yeah. And they were honest. They didn't know yet because they hadn't seen the crescent. They didn't know when the crescent was going to occur. Another said it's definitely the 7th. And I don't know how they can say that, because the Karaite website says it was the 8th because they saw the crescent at the close of the 7th day, and so was the 8th. And that would be a Sunday. We kept it on Thursday. They kept it on Sunday. I believe it's Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Well, let me show you a couple more pictures. When we kept the Day of Trumpets, or not a Day of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles on September the, what was it, 19th, this is what the moon looked like. Are you familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles moon? Okay. Here's what the moon looked like for those who kept an observation calendar. And you can see, was the moon full? No. This moon is called a waning gibbous, I think that's where you see that, waning gibbous. It was not full. And yet their accurate observation calendar made it that way because they were 3 days after the conjunction, because they could not see the crescent. But some will say, where does the Bible say you have to have a full moon on tabernacles, beginning of tabernacles? Well, it doesn't specifically say that. However, there's a scripture that's controversial, and I just happened to go to the Karaite website, and they say the King James Version of Psalm 81, if you want to turn there. And we're just going to read the one verse, Psalm 81, verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. And some people read that and say, well, you don't blow the trumpet on the full moon, do you? Yes, you do. In ancient Israel, they were to blow it at every high day, and that would be the 15th of the first month and the 15th of the seventh month, the first day of unleavened bread and the first day of tabernacles. Now, this verse is controversial because the phrase at the full moon, some people... Some translations, I think the Old King James, leaves that out. And it says on our appointed day or something similar to that. And so they say the full moon shouldn't be there. However, I read the reasoning from the Karaite website, and I agree with that. It does say that. It's talked about a covered moon. The word used there that's in question means to cover. So it's covered with light, what it probably means. Again, it's controversial. But this verse does seem to indicate that on the Feast of Tabernacles, you should expect a full moon. On the 15th of the seventh month and the 15th of the first month. And that, you know, those of us who have been keeping the feast for a long time are used to that. You know, we see that full moon. I remember keeping the feast in Tucson, and you had this parking lot way out there, and you walked across this ramp, and every feast time, every time, you walked across that ramp, and there was that giant full moon. It was always full. Incidentally, the full moon appears full for about 3 days, and the Hebrew calendar does not make it precisely full every 15th, but it's within that three-day window. Now the last question, will the Church of God ever abandon the fixed calendar? Well, of course, I don't know, and you don't know, but my guess is not likely. One of the big complaints is postponements with the Hebrew calendar, and some of them are problematical, but people have misrepresented what they're for. I'm not going to say much about those, but when Christ was on earth, did they have postponements? Yes, they did. Not the kind that the Hebrew calendar calls out, but historians say that it was common to postpone Passover and other high days, especially the first month, because if the weather was bad, the roads were not passable, they would just postpone it. And what did Christ say in the New Testament about that? Not one word. He never mentioned it. He kept the holy days at the same time the Jews kept the holy days. And, you know, some people complain mainly about the postponement, says it moves holy time. Well, intercalation moves time. It just does. That's the way it worked. And if they postponed the holy days because of bad weather or whatever, that would move it as well. So it's fairly common to move holy time, if you'd like to say it that way. Consider what would happen if the Church of God said, I think we should use observation. Just think about what would happen. Well, the first thing we would argue about is, do we use the equinox or do we use the barley crop to determine Nisan 1? And, you know, people argue about that back and forth. I don't know which one you'd use. And where would you observe from? Would it be Jerusalem or would it be locally? Or would it be both? Would it be Jerusalem for a part of the earth and locally for another part or some other way? We'd have to hash that out. And how would we satisfy Psalm 81? Because with observation, you often do not have a full moon on the 15th of Tishrei, or 15th of the seventh month. In the same way with Passover. How would we resolve that? We would say, well, we could, maybe it doesn't really mean full moon. Maybe it means the other thing. So we could argue about that too. And who would do the observation? Would we have somebody in Jerusalem to do it and then relay it to us? Anybody want to volunteer? You know, we don't know. Who would verify it? You know, during the time of Christ and before, sometimes people would come forward and say, I saw the crescent. And the Sanhedrin said, no, you didn't. It's not possible. And so they would disallow people who came and said they observed the crescent. And they had that authority. And vice versa, you know, when you had some people say, yes, I saw it, and other people said, no, you didn't. Argue about it. How would you resolve things like that? I don't know. There's actually dozens and dozens of questions we come up with if we decided to do that. So, will we go to an observed calendar? I don't think so. The fixed calendar, as far as we know, has been used since the time of Christ, well, since it was implemented, 358. From that time until now, it's been used by Sabbath observing and holy day observing Christians. And so if we say now we're going to throw it out because it's no good, what are we saying? All of those people who lived and died did it wrong or whatever? The bottom line, really, is not so much, I think, if the holy days are precisely on. It's the attitude in which we keep them and the reason for which we keep them, to honor God. So will we change calendars? Probably not. I guess we'll have to wait till 2225, then we'll know.